That's the Sydney blue gum, and that's the red gum that John's talking about. And then that's another one there. See the little fella next to it?
Yeah.
That is stringy bark.
When Phil Banks and his wife bought this 16-hectare hobby farm in the Bega Valley back in the 1990s, there were just a couple of mature trees left on this former dairy farm. Now, there's thousands of trees dotted along this landscape near Candalo on the far south coast of New South Wales.
These are the acacias, but that stand there...
Hello, I'm Josh Becker. Farm forestry projects have been in and out of vogue in the past few decades, but Phil and other family members living in the area have embraced the concept.
Instead of having two very large trees, we now have in the order of 5,000 to 7,000 trees here. Now, remembering this is a 40-acre block, and as I said, we've shared this project over time amongst four of us. We're up to about between 25 and 30,000 trees that were planted.
While they haven't realised a commercial return on their investment just yet, Phil Banks says the tree plantings have made a dramatic difference to farm production and the local environment.
We're at a point now where the trees are of a size and a volume, if you like, a capacity, that they're doing a really good job in terms of shade and shelter. And also wildlife corridor between Tanawangala on one side and Sandy Creek on the other. We've noticed little bird life come back, and that's helped us just around our house. So now we have the small birds, finches and so on, coming back in, and that's given the amenity of the place a huge boost.
Phil's brother-in-law, John Coman, runs sheep and cattle on the farm next door. He's been interested in farm forestry for many years. He's been planting out yellow and blue gums, spotted gums, stringy barks and southern mahogany trees on his property.
You can't plant trees and not have a success. There are varying degrees of success. Some species went extremely well and some that we thought would go well didn't. But the result is what you can see here standing here now. Is that we have trees. We have trees established, we have corridors, we have shade, shelter, we have a very good environmental result, and we also have now a potential for value adding and for local timber, posts, poles and firewood. I haven't had to buy firewood yet. Josh, what we're looking at here, mate, is one of the remnant gum trees, a red gum, that would have been typical of the forest that was here prior to the establishment of farming practices back in the 1880s. Now, that tree is 35 metres high. It has a diameter at breast height as 1.5 metres. Now, that would have been typical. It's grown to that height. Now, if you turn around and you look around behind you now, there is no trees of any substance anymore on there. So that was the benchmark when we started. We said, now, wouldn't it be good if we could actually grow a tree like that? I have no idea how old it is, but what a beautiful tree. So that's the benchmark, mate. If I get to that when I die, I'll be happy.
Seems we're standing here. Yeah. Can you see my sheep?
No, whereabouts are they?
They're up in amongst the trees.
Right.
And hopefully that would answer your question, and I'd take my tongue out of my cheek. But what you'll find is this is quite an exposed area here, but coming into winter, where they are now, they would be grazing on the other side of those pine trees. They'd be moving out of the pine trees. And if we were to walk, down that way, you could look up through that gap, and it's a reasonably, it's very sheltered, but above that, it's almost denuded under the pine trees. That's where they camp. 40 degree days, 30 odd degree days, they're back in there because it's cooler.
While Phil Banks and John Coman have embraced farm forestry, not everyone is following their lead. What's the reason more people don't go down this particular path?
Time and money. Yeah. It basically comes back to that. If you can't see the end result, and if you can't see the value that you're going to get through this process, then that's going to be the question is, well, why am I doing this? Why do you want me to spend X amount of dollars on fencing and X amount of dollars per tree? But that's why we enjoy having people come out here, because they can stand here and we can go, that's why. It's really hard to stand in a blank paddock and go, am I going to spend that money and that time? What am I going to get out of it? Well, here it is. There's only two times that you need to plant a tree. One was 30 years ago and the other one's today. And that's one of those old fella things that I heard from another bloke. It's not mine. But if you want to get into it, that's why you would do it. And you would be able to then have within oh, what do you reckon, Jacko, 4 years, 5 years, you'd have a tree that would be available to you to do something with.
Where are you taking us, John?
Well, here we're just at the back of the old dairy on the property, mate, and the photo that you see in front of you is the landscape in 1995. Now, that's what it looked like. In that landscape, there are three angophoras and a willow tree. Now, if you look at the landscape here now, you cannot even see across the gully. As you can see, there's a plantation in here with 500 trees in it, back through there, which is screening the south side of the house. And if you walk back over here, you'll see behind it a very successful stand of stringy barks. They were planted as almost a pure stand. They are now all around about 18 to 20 metres high and growing very well.
That's an incredible change from the 90s to where it is today. How do you feel looking at that comparison?
Satisfied. My family have done a good job. It was a family project and they've all moved around now, but the results are obvious. I think even you can see it. Mm.
That's a common experience on farms where the planting is shared amongst the family and the kids get involved.
Yes, indeed. They got involved in the planning, in the planting and in the maintenance. They're involved in all aspects of it. And as was alluded to before, I have a dream that sometime in the future I have some very large mahoganies that have been growing very well. I've got them up to 560 millimetres diameter, breast height, and I would hope that sometime in the future that my sons or someone will value add to that. I mean, wouldn't it be an ultimate thing to be able to say that you built a mahogany table out of a tree that you grew on your farm, and not only did you grow it, you actually planted it? I mean, how good would that be?